I don't remember how long I'd been there, but all of a sudden I felt some rather warm, soft hands on mine and voices, and someone was trying to wake me up, and I more or less sat up and opened my eyes as best I could, and here's a very pretty young lady. I remember she was red-haired and very attractive. She had a green dress on. I can still remember that. And she had a basin of warm water and some soap and cloths and so forth. And she was washing my face and my hands and asking me who I was and was I all right. So she washed my face and hands, and I was a little embarrassed by being fussed over. I think there might have been another girl there too. And anyway, they were ministering to me, and when she got all done washing me up, I was a filthy mess covered with soot and black and dirt from the fire, of course. And when she, after she washed the dirt and grime off, she could see that I'd burned my hands and my face was pretty much, chapped and a little bit of a burn, but not bad. But anyway, she could see that my hands especially were burned, and so she put some kind of ointment, salve or something, on my hands and even bandaged them up for me. They weren't that bad, but I guess she enjoyed her work. But I was really quite touched by that scene of care and concern. Noticed a lot of that during the fire, that people got right down to the basics about being human beings and caring for one another. And whenever there was a need for help to save some cattle or to try to move something or to get a fire out of a house or something, boy, folks would drop what they were doing and bend over backwards to help one another without any thought to whose house should be taken care of first or how was this going to be taken care of financially or anything like that. They just pitched right in and used what they had to work with and got the job done. I guess that was another important lesson that I learned also, how people could work together and forget their animosities and whatever, and just come to the root cause of the need at hand and get the job done. The fighting the fire, as I look back now, since that time I've been in the service and had a lot of experience around men and military operations and things of that type. And as I look back, the forest fire fighting situation was very much like a military affair. Someone had to be the boss. I don't know where the bosses came from, but often I remember they were Forest Service personnel. Sometimes they were military people. And sometimes it was just the natural leaders in the group that just took charge of the situation and saw what needed to be done and gave orders and people followed their orders. The entire state, as I said, was really in a state of emergency. The reserves, the Army Guard and the Army Reserve, these people have been called up and were all over the place. I remember coming in contact with some of the Navy and Marine personnel that were stationed in the state of Maine at the time, and they were out there with their equipment and their own organizations, pitching right in and right along beside all the civilians and boys and men and all the personnel that could be mustered together. It was quite an experience. Of course, when I was on the actual fire detail, you didn't know what was going on in the rest of the state. You didn't see any newspapers, of course. You were usually concerned about your immediate surroundings, whether or not there was immediate danger or where the next crown fire was. Anyway, you really didn't have communication with the rest of the state. On the two or three trips that I made back home during that two-week period, and I was fighting most of the time, maybe 60 miles away from home, I recall hearing about the massive losses of valuable property in the Bar Harbor area, down in the Biddeford Pool in the southern part of the state on the coast, and it was just fantastic, the amount of property that was lost, let alone timberland and farm buildings. But it was certainly, it seemed like the entire state was burning up or about to burn up. Even several weeks after my experiences in early October, I remember visiting my father, who lived in the near the Augusta area, Manchester, and he was still on the forest fire or fire patrol detail, where he would be assigned a particular area near his home, a fairly rural area with a lot of woods, and he had this particular route that he had to drive over every so many hours, all night long, take, you know, turns going around, and they were looking for fires that were just starting, and I suspect that in spite of the natural fires that occurred, that there was a considerable amount of, well, I shouldn't say this for certain, but I just seem to recall having the impression that a lot of these fires were man-made. They were set intentionally, for whatever reason, I don't know. But conditions were ideal for burning, and these patrols that Dad was on were a very common occurrence. Again, an example of how everyone was involved, one way or the other. Well, that's pretty much the highlights of the 2 weeks that I spent out of school as a 16-year-old fighting the forest fires in the year 1947, and some of my experiences and some of the things I learned. And I remember those days fairly clearly, and the impressions and the lessons I learned have stayed with me for these past 30 years. And I don't recommend this as a learning experience for anyone, but I'm not sorry that I participated in that situation. I just hope that we never see another situation like that, at least in my lifetime. This is John Kelly recording on 13 December 1976.